the One Soccer Nation podcast. Today we have the pleasure of speaking with Abby Carcio. Abby is a professional footballer currently playing in Ireland for Athlone Town. And my sister and I know Abby just from playing with her in France last year at Saint-Étienne.
Abby, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. We're so excited to have you on the podcast just to share your journey and motivate young aspiring players. How are you and how are you feeling today?
Yeah, thanks for having me on the pod. I saw you one day on one of the previous episodes and I said, listen, I got to get myself on this podcast. I'm doing well. You know, I'm out with injury right now, so that's a bit of a downer, but I'm working on my coaching badges now, so I'm still involved in the game.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's so good. So can you just start off by telling us what age did you start playing soccer and why did you choose to play soccer?
Yeah, so going way back, I was probably four or five when I started just locally. My siblings played soccer, and so it was just kind of a way to get energy out. And yeah, I didn't start playing competitively until I was probably 12 years old, which is a little bit late, but no, started at 4 or 5. Yeah.
Oh my God. 12? Like, so did you play any other sports before soccer competitively?
Yeah, I mean, not competitively like club soccer, but yeah, I did all the sports under the sun. I did taekwondo, dance. My mom runs a dance studio, so that was oddly part of my childhood. And baseball, basketball, kind of anything that involves activity, I was a part of. And so soccer didn't become my mainstay until, that 12-year-old mark.
Well, taekwondo, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pretend that I can like defend myself, but I probably can't anymore, you know.
If you didn't play soccer, what sport would you think you would have taken competitively?
That's hard. See, I never played lacrosse, but I feel like I'm not that athletic, but I feel like my attributes in soccer could probably translate into lacrosse best. But if I was like actively good at another sport, I would hope it would be tennis, just because I think, yeah, the tennis players just seem really cool. And I would love to have that aura around me.
No, yeah. That sport is hard though. Like, I don't think I could keep up.
Like, yeah, it's very intense.
It's very like different from like a team sport. Like, it's just you. It's literally just you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the mental side of it, I think, like when you make a mistake, you're screwed. Like, there's no one to blame, you know?
That's so funny. But can you like tell us about your recruiting process and why you chose to commit to Brown University?
Yeah, so the recruiting process for me happened, I don't know, over 10 years ago now. So I know it's very different with the new rules that the NCAA has. But it was like honestly pretty chill back in the day. You just kind of showed up to tournaments, played, and then coaches would like contact you through your club coach. And so that's how I got in contact with Brown. I didn't even know, like, they weren't on my radar. I didn't email them first or anything like that. I was lucky enough to be contacted by them. And then, I took a tour of the campus, really appreciated like the academic balance with the soccer as well. And just felt at home when I was at the campus. And so, yeah, committed there. I think I was going into my junior year. So it was a summer going into my junior year, which is not early these days, but back in the day, it was a bit early to make a commitment like that at age 16. But yeah, I just really enjoyed my time at Brown, and
So like Brown University is like an Ivy League. Can you just tell us a little bit about like what it was like going to like an Ivy League school and like just the atmosphere, stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, going in was quite intimidating. Like, I'm a decent student, but I'm not a self-proclaimed genius by any means. And so I definitely walked in with kind of the nervousness of being like the dumbest one in each classroom. And I feel like I can't speak to the other Ivies, but Brown is it's known as like the chill Ivy. And I think it's because the students that go there are really collaborative and they never like made me feel less than, you know, and maybe that's just like self-conscious. Maybe I never was less than, but you know what I'm saying? And so I think the hardest part was, you know, those first few months. And then once you realize, okay, I'm meant to be here and I can hang, it's It's nothing different, I would say. Like speaking with my friends who did went to different universities, I think at the end of the day, it's like it's all the same. Like it's all the same textbooks and things like that. So no, I think what Brown's so good at is just the people that you meet there are doing really cool things, and so I'm really fortunate to have been a part of that for 4 years.
Yeah, I can relate to what you were saying, like just getting adjusted when you first start college. Like when I was a freshman, I was having a difficulty like adjusting to like social life, homework, and then going to practice. Like I was having issues with that. So I feel like that's something everyone does deal with when they first, go into college. But so I thought it would be harder, honestly, the fact that you like went to Ivy League. Like, was the education like more demanding, or I don't know.
Everybody uses like massive words, and like that's like a scary thing. I think, like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There are very intelligent people that go to these schools. But I don't think there was ever a point where I was like out of my depths and was like drowning. It's hard at school, but I think, yeah, once you like understand, okay, some people are projecting like that they're really smart by using these large dictionary words, you realize like school is more about like the collaborative experience. I think the biggest thing for me was like in peer-to-peer discussions. Sometimes like these kids would arrive at a conclusion that would take me like 2 minutes more, and I was like, okay, there's clearly like a gap here. But no, like I said, Brown's really good. They actually don't have GPAs, and there's an open curriculum, and so you're allowed to take classes that you are interested in rather than like having requirements. And so that benefited me a lot. I was able to stick to my strengths and do like all history classes, which was really nice.
Oh, that's
Okay,
nice.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that was
that's cool.
But we spoke about just like how demanding just Brown kind of was. You earned like accolades such as first team all Ivy honors your last 2 years of college. How did you balance like the demands of school and soccer?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think I'm a bit of an anomaly. Like, I'm a massive soccer head. So, like, going into school, I was like, I'm just gonna study and play soccer. And my social life definitely sacrificed a bit. Like, I semi regret that because I wasn't involved in like clubs or like later in my career, I got involved more in entrepreneurship, but I wish I did that more early on. So, I really just prioritized school and soccer, like, those are my only things. And I think that allowed me to, yeah, like just really focus when season came around and play my best football.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about like being more involved in school. I kind of wish I did that like earlier in college, because I feel like I started being more involved in college like my junior senior year. But like, yeah, I wish I kind of connected more with other people and like joined different clubs and stuff like that. I feel like that would kind of benefited me more. I would have met more people. I feel like I would have learned a lot more too, and just networked also. So yeah, I could definitely like relate to that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
everyone's like, no, I was gonna say, everyone's like, I don't have any regrets in life. I'm like, my regret is not being more like socially involved in college. Like, I wish I did that.
I feel like towards like our senior years when we actually started like doing stuff, because I don't know, like I don't know why I was so scared to like just branch out and do other things, but I felt like my last 2 years is when I actually started being more social and like joining other groups and stuff, just being more involved in like extracurricular activities. But I think it's just more of like an intimidating thing of like not knowing, like, oh, should I do that? Should I do this? I don't know. But as I got older, I feel like I got more comfortable just being at in college. So I was just like, I'll do this, I'll do that. So, yeah.
It's just like that freshman mindset. You're just timid and like,
Yeah, you're so
where
scared.
you should go, where you should not go. You're just gonna like sit back and just watch and then. But
Absolutely.
just dive right in, honestly. Freshman year, dive right in. You never know who you might meet. You never know what opportunities you might like
Yeah,
get.
nothing to lose.
Yeah, you really don't have anything to lose. But what like advice would you give to freshmen and sophomores to like help balance their academics and playing their sport?
Don't have a social life. I'm kidding. No. Listen, I think it's all about time management, especially in those early years, like getting something as simple as like an agenda book and just itemizing your time can be really beneficial because you're literally either in the classroom or on the pitch, especially in season. And so it's crucial to have like your stuff organized. Make sure you definitely separate some time just for yourself, like whether that's watching like a Netflix show or something. I think a lot of times athletes forget about like mental health and yeah, separating some time for yourself is crucial. But I'm an agenda girl. Like I will literally plan my entire day, like from wake up to bedtime. So that's like kind of the advice that I would give if someone's struggling with that. But I think the highest item on my list is just like making time for yourself away from both sport and classroom.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. 'Cause sometimes like it can be overwhelming, like the pressures of soccer, the pressures of doing well in school, like sometimes you just need to unwind and relax, you know?
It's
So
really true.
definitely taking time to yourself really would is definitely a good advice, 'cause that's the only way you're really gonna survive in such a chaotic like
For sure, yeah.
environment.
Yeah, I remember like we would go to like DC a lot, like outside of soccer, outside of school.
That's
Was
cool.
there a, like a place like that at Brown?
Yeah, so like my house is actually 40 minutes away from Brown. So on my weekends off, like sometimes I would go the infrequent times that we would have time off, I would go home sometimes. But no, Providence is a really cool city. Like that's another thing. I didn't explore Providence maybe until junior, senior year, but it's really cool. There are eclectic spots. There's a lot of art in Providence. And so I would, yeah, go with my friends. We would ride our bikes downtown and explore. And I think that was a good escape for me in addition to like going home.
That's fun. Oh, that's fun. I love art. Ooh.
No, yeah, I like that.
Like museums and
What
stuff.
was that?
Was it like museums too?
Oh yeah, definitely. Actually, there are a couple museums like on Brown's campus, and so I again didn't I waited until senior year to go to some of those, but also Boston is like 40 minutes away, so on some weekends we would be able to go to Boston. I mean, I grew up in Massachusetts, but it's still cool. You're still finding new spots, so definitely a lot of museums there, and it was a good escape, you know.
Oh, okay, that's nice.
Yeah, escape is definitely really important. You
Yeah.
definitely need that.
Absolutely.
So after you were in college for 4 years, right? So after your 4 years, what would you say was like your biggest lesson, like overall?
That's a good question. I think the biggest lesson I learned was like be genuinely curious about people. I think it's a great like connector, and just like everyone has a unique story and it's worth asking them questions about it. Even if on the surface you don't think you're going to connect with them, it's I think you more often than not surprise yourself. So that's the biggest lesson I think I took away.
Yeah, no, I agree, because I feel like I kind of branched out a little from like my own friend group from soccer, and I met people that I'm still friends with today, and I'm like so glad that I met them. So it's
Yeah.
just like that's a really good point. Yeah. Like definitely like don't stay within your soccer team, like meet people in your classes, and 'cause you never know how they'll help you like in the future. So
Absolutely. Yeah, and like I think we insulate ourselves a lot in like within football, and you do find a lot of the same personalities within the sport. So branching out and finding somebody else that's completely different than yourself, like they can provide a lot of strengths that might be your weaknesses. And I think that's really cool, facet of life, you know?
yeah, exactly.
That's a really good point. So, just from transitioning from college to playing professional, what challenges did you face? Or did you feel like college prepared you for the professional environment?
Oh. Yeah, so I had a bit of a strange experience because COVID hit my senior year as I was graduating. And so like right when I was supposed to be looking for teams professionally, like everything was shut down. So it was like quite odd during that time. But when I did find a team overseas, it became less of a pastime and way more of a job. And that was like really apparent to me. It's funny, like my first team, my teammates are some like still some of my good friends. And the first like 3 weeks, they hated me because like it was such a business. It was like so cutthroat. Whereas in university, like your family, like maybe you have a few tiffs, but I really felt the relevance of like the business side of football when I became professional. I didn't expect that, or I just wasn't like prepared for that as much. And then I think overseas, depending on what country you're in, I think the technical game is a lot more prevalent. And that surprised me. Like, I thought I was technical in America. And then I went to, when I was in France with you guys, like, gosh, my touch was terrible compared to everyone else's. So, yeah, I think those are the two biggest things that I noticed.
Yeah, I could definitely relate to that. Like, I feel like in France, like everyone is, I feel like everyone is technical. Like, even if
Yeah.
I'm not the best player, like they're so good on the ball. It's just
Exactly.
crazy, like the difference between like the US and like Europe. Like, it's so crazy to me think
It
about
was
it.
very obvious for me.
Yeah. Cause like yeah, in the States, like they're so focused on like your athletic ability and like yeah, you need to be technical, but like a lot of people just get by with their athleticism, and I feel like a lot of people, if they were to play in Europe, like France, I don't think they could like handle the technicality and the tactics of like how they play.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I feel like on the flip side as well, like if a French girl came over and played with us, like I think the athletic side would be quite a shock for them.
I don't even think they would enjoy it.
Go through one college preseason, you'll hate
They
soccer. Like,
would hate it. Oh
yeah,
my
they
God.
really hate it.
Cause like if you take it in, like we lift once, like in Europe, most people lift once a week.
Yeah.
In US, you're lifting 3, 4 times a week. Like, yeah.
Men, like that's it's so funny. And it's funny, like when I went over to France, or I guess my first clubs and like in Lithuania and stuff, I was sitting pretty during all the fitness. I was like, this is the easiest thing in the world. Mind you, back home I'm like bottom of the barrel fitness style. So I
Right.
was just that was a good improvement. I sank on my technical abilities, but I made it to the top of the class on the athletic side.
Yeah, that's
Oh
so
my God. That's so funny. But did you face any, challenges like so far in your career as a professional, soccer player, like lifestyle wise or culture wise or even just on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate enough not to have like a major injury until like now. So, that's a blessing that that didn't happen. I was able to have like 4 consistent years of playing professionally. And I think, yeah, there are a ton of challenges. Like, I don't like to sugarcoat the experience playing abroad. There's some amazing aspects, travel, you meet really dope people, but I think with anything in life, like there are going to be downtimes. I think there were two big challenges for me. I think culturally meshing with coaches was difficult for me, whether that's a language barrier or just like the way that they treat human beings is different than I'm used to or like to be treated. I think that was challenging to like understand that, again, this is a business and like you have to navigate it the best you can. They're not going to treat you kind of like the family that you might have gotten in the States. That was one challenge. And then I think just language barrier wise, the first couple of months in France was difficult. Luckily, I had a few people that like spoke French and English and could help me. But yeah, that was hard because not so much on the pitch, but it prevents you from like having a life outside of football sometimes. Like I can't just go out on the streets and like make friends because I can't speak the language. So I found that to be a little bit challenging. But I think those were the two like ones that kind of stick out in my mind.
When you talk about the language, I like not being able to go out on your own to make friends. Like I can relate to that too. I think that's why I kind of like Denmark because a lot of people here speak English and like I can just go out and be like they'll speak to me in Danish and I'll be like, oh, sorry, I don't speak Danish. And then they'll be able to talk to me. And like, I can just talk to so many different people and they'll be able to speak English. So I like, that's the kind of aspect I like about Denmark is like, they can speak English. So I have something to relate with them on.
For
But
sure.
like in France, yeah, yes, I could speak French, but like, It's just so different. I don't even know how to explain it.
I feel like even when I got to the point where I could like decently understand French,
Yeah.
I knew right away that I wasn't French, and then just like would give me attitude, and I was like, okay, I'm trying here. So I was like, I made a few inroads when I was in France, but no, I think that was like one of my biggest challenges when I was over there.
But I could definitely relate to the language barrier because on the team that I'm with now, Rodez, I'm literally the only international player compared to when we
That's
were in
fine.
Saint-Étienne, where there was like six of us, like American or internationals. So like for me, it's just like one-on-one, like I could speak, I'm okay with it, but in a big group, like it's just a lot going on. So honestly, sometimes I just kind of zone out.
Yeah,
Like
I feel that. The zone out, definitely have been there.
I just zone out, and even sometimes, like the players will ask, "Oh, like did you get the joke?" I was like, "Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I wasn't even listening. Sorry."
It's not even that you don't understand, it's like genuinely just not listening.
It's just like it's just a lot. I have to focus so hard because so much is going on at once.
Yeah, no, I feel that.
Like it's also still, a good thing because it's challenging me to like not be so like scared to like say something wrong or like if I sound stupid, like who cares? Like they'll correct you. They'll laugh, but they'll correct you. Like
Yeah, for
it's kind
sure.
of like because even sometimes when they say like English words to me, I laugh and I correct them. So like it's like a give or take relationship. But yeah, it's like a good challenge for me,
Yeah,
honestly.
definitely. Yeah, learning a language is so cool and like beneficial, and to be able to like relate to them in some ways, like you were saying, like you can joke around with them at some point, and even that like human connection is sometimes enough. So that's awesome.
The language barrier takes some time.
Yeah, that's
In the beginning, I was so like more to myself and I would just like have one-on-one conversations, but now I'm kind of more like open and just like not really like I don't care if I sound stupid, like I really
yeah.
don't. I'm just gonna learn
That's
from
the thing.
what I said,
I
so
feel like you learn faster like that as well. Like if you don't speak because you're fearful of like what someone's gonna say, you're not practicing as much. And so I definitely got to that point where I was like, I don't care if I sound like an idiot or I say like the complete wrong thing. It definitely helped me progress more, I think.
It's just a learning experience, a little
Yeah.
learning curve.
Oh, literally.
But you played in various countries like France, Ireland, Lithuania, Denmark. What were like the culture differences that you experienced like on and off the field?
Oof, yeah, that's a loaded one. I'll start on the field. Like the football culture is vastly different in every country I've been in. Like France, I definitely think was the most like technical slash methodical. Iceland and Ireland actually were more similar to America in terms of like the transition play. They look to yeah, kind of beat you with athleticism more so. Lithuania was its own beast. Like that was my first contract. Didn't know what to expect. Luckily, I had a huge group of like good internationals, so I didn't really get the Lithuanian culture so much on the playing pitch. But yeah, I think I loved playing in different countries because it allowed me to like increase my tool belt, my soccer tool belt, and kind of take from each country something that I can integrate into my game. So that was cool. And then on the off the pitch stuff, culturally, yeah, again, everything was super different. I think I'll say this, the Irish people, some of the nicest people I've ever met, like genuinely such a contrast to like France. I feel like people are much more closed off at the beginning, and then once you're friends with them, like they'll do anything for you at that point. But the Irish people are like, I don't even know your last name, and I'll do whatever you want for you and stuff like that. So I think that's a little bit more like home in New England. So I appreciated that. But no, it's again with languages being different, I think you understand the vibe. I mean, you can speak to the Danish side of things. Like people are kind of reserved in Denmark, and I was like, oh my gosh, am I like being too loud or am I like being too forward with them? And it was just like kind of weird. So definitely some cultures that I meshed with better than others, but each of them gave me something that I could like take away from.
Like in Denmark, I don't know when I first came here, like I'm not saying the girls weren't welcoming, but they were just, to themselves, to themselves. But luckily there was other internationals who like came up to me like, hey, and like, you could tell they were from America because of how friendly they were being. So it's just like, just seeing the difference is so funny.
It really is. And that's the exact sense that I got in Denmark. I was like, is anyone going to say anything to me? Like, I just found it so weird, but it's not that they're being rude or anything. It's like they're genuinely. I think one girl was saying, like, she came to America and she walked into a store, and one of the, you know how like the people that work there always say, hey, can I help you? She was like, someone talked to me and I like freaked out because they're just not used to that like simple interaction. So that definitely I can relate to on that.
I feel like people in Denmark, everyone's like very to themselves. Unless they like get to know you, then they'll open up and be like, oh, like how are you doing and all that. So yeah,
Yeah,
no.
exactly.
I get that.
It's so
What would you say
interesting.
was your favorite place that you played in so far?
In terms of like football or people?
Do both football and then people.
I think I was in France the longest and I made like really dope friends, like you guys. But no, like I have a lot of friends from all over the world from Saint-Étienne. And so I think having those people to like laugh through trainings with and things like that just made that experience, that interesting experience, like a really one that I can like look back on fondly, you know? Like there are some things that I've totally blacked out of that experience, but like for the most part, I've just made incredible friends there. And in terms of the football, where I felt the best was probably in Ireland. Like I was only there for a short amount of time, but it was, I don't want to say less intense in terms of like it was very serious, like it's still a professional setup and everything like that, but I just felt more supported by the coach, and I felt like I could be more myself on the ball, and I wasn't like scared taking touches and things like that, and so I felt probably the best in Ireland, even though I think tactically and technically France was probably the like highest level that I played at.
That, like what you were talking about, just like the coaches in France, like it's like you kind of have to like earn like their respect, like or like you know what I'm saying? Like you really have to prove to them, like you have to work harder than the French, like the like
Country, sure.
yeah French girls or the yeah sorry you
Yeah.
know what
Yeah. You really have to like prove that you can play into their system and whatnot. I also feel like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's in order to play for a French team, it's like you have to prove yourself. Whereas in other places, in other environments I've been in, it's like they champion what you're good at and like they just try and use you for what you already are doing. And so that's like a pretty deep contrast for me.
Because I feel like sometimes they'll bring you in and they already know where they want to put you sometimes. So like, I definitely understand that. Yeah. I don't know, France is just different.
Different.
France is different. But you also had the experience to play in Champions League. Can you just kind of describe like what it was like playing in Champions League?
Yeah, that was an interesting one as well. Like I said before, it was during COVID, and so like we didn't get the fan experience, but it was like my first professional experience. And the girls at the club were like really made like the club made it a really big deal, which it is. For us, like we won our first game, so we were able to play in the second round against a Norwegian team, which was like the best team I've ever played against, like until I got to France. So it was such a cool experience for me to be like exposed to really high level football, even though I probably wasn't like at that level. I think looking back, it's such a cool like notch in my belt to be like, yeah, I played in Champions League, regardless if there was fans or not. It was still just like a cool thing, a cool like bucket list item for me in my football career.
How do you feel like playing in Champions League like played a role in like your growth as a player?
I think honestly, seeing the way other people reacted to the coolness of Champions League, it kind of lit a fire under my butt and was like, wow, like there are some things that you can achieve within women's football that are really cool. Like those accolades and like those benchmarks. Like for instance, playing against Lyon in France is like something that's really cool. And I think without Champions League, it might not have like been as exciting for me to try and like push myself to the next level. I think it was a good motivating factor.
I love that. I really do love that because Champions League is such a like big platform. Like you're playing against the best team, best players. So yeah, that's nice to just say, yeah, I played in Champions League.
Yeah, and it's funny though, because like I was in Lithuania, like random freaking country, and like you're not really expected to go deep into the tournament or whatever, but it really does allow you to like play against really cool teams that otherwise you wouldn't get the chance to. Like one of my friends who was playing in Israel, another like small country, not really known for its soccer, like she was able to play against these big teams like Barcelona and things like that. And so I just think it's a cool way for smaller teams to get exposed to like the bigger football teams.
Yeah. And I even feel like Champions League is a good way for like even though you're not on like the big teams and then you're like on a team that's in Champions League playing the big teams, you can see whether or not like you can compete at that level, you know? It kind of shows you like,
Yeah.
okay, I can play with them, like
Yeah, like, oh yeah, saw you on TV. Well, I'm
right?
gonna mark you out of a team
All
right now.
right.
That's cool, yeah.
No, literally. Yeah, so we can let's go a little bit outside of soccer a little bit and kind of talk about how you co-founded a trans solo LLC, an app aimed at enhancing individual soccer training. Can you kind of just tell us like what inspired you to create this app?
Yeah, Train Solo was also born out of COVID. So many weird things came out of COVID for me. So like this was a time when you couldn't like interact with coaches or teams or anything like that, and I knew I wanted to play professionally, and so I needed to use some sort of resource to train and to improve in a non-team environment. And I was training with one other kid at the time, and we would spend like an hour looking on YouTube for different training plans and like sift through the drills that weren't great. And we had used like technique, but we wanted something with drills that were a little bit more game realistic. And so there wasn't anything on the market. So we were like, let's just build this out. And we had a friend who codes. And so, yeah, the three of us kind of just connected and built it out. And it turned into something like pretty viable. And we put it on the App Store and got a good response. And so we worked on that for about 3 years. And then, actually, like 6 months ago, we got acquired by another company. And so that was kind of a really good exit. For the three of us. And I learned so much from that experience, though. Besides just like creating a tool that was actually like helpful to myself, I learned a lot about entrepreneurship on that side of things. So.
No, that's really cool because I feel like even when I'm doing training by myself or I'm not training like with our personal trainer, like I'm always looking for drills to do. And I always like just if I see like a little drill on Instagram, I'll just save it, put in my little bookmark. So like that app is like so accessible. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm just gonna go on there.
Yeah, no, I know. It's
Yeah.
funny. Like the way we did it was kind of we use app algorithms to personalize the training plans. And so if I wanted to work on like shooting and dribbling and I was like intermediate level, you could just plug that into the app and then it would pump out your training session. So it just took a lot of like the pain points away from having to like look up drills and finding like what I want to do. You know, like that was the biggest thing, just like simplifying the process.
That's like a really cool like just the way like the idea kind of came about like you literally looking and they're like oh let me create this app like and you see that it wasn't on the market and that's like a really cool like storylines
Yeah.
like
All credit goes to my co-founder Alex. Like he was the brainchild behind it. Like he thought like, oh, there's a gap in this market. Like we should do this. And I was like, you're crazy. I don't know the first thing about apps. And he was like, no, like we can do this. So definitely driven by him, but yeah, it was cool, and I'm happy something like good, I would say, came out of COVID for me.
Oh,
Were there
would
any
you?
sorry.
Sorry.
Were there any challenges, like bringing that idea to life? Like,
Oh, so many. Like startup culture is crazy, and I didn't even know what startup culture was until I was in it. I had no idea what I was doing the whole time. Like we would literally be on calls on Zoom and just be like, okay, this is what we need to do. How do we do that? So then we would just like go on YouTube and like discover, okay, how do you form an LLC? Like, how do you, what's an MOU? Like things like that. We had no idea. So we were just stumbling through the process. It's also like I think the trade-off is good though, because one, you're learning, like you're self-learning. But I think the biggest regret is like we didn't really have a mentor to follow. Like we just so we I think some things that took us like 6 months could have taken us 1 month if we had a little bit more guidance. So I think just a time investment was a lot, but it was like all part of the learning process, you know?
Yeah, I can. I feel like we can relate to that too, because we also started a business this last year, and like just like learning all about LLC and registering your business. Like, there's just so much things I did not know that was involved in like having a startup. It was just a
No one
lot.
tells you. No one tells
Yeah,
you.
no one tells you.
Even though, like,
What do you mean? I have to pay taxes? Like, no.
yeah, like it's honestly a lot, but you kind of figure it out as you go, and it's like a learning experience too. So, like you can also help somebody. Like if you need some help, like I can help you out. So it's like a good like learning experience. I think so.
Absolutely.
So after you created this app, do you think you would create, like, potentially create another app or like start another business in something else?
Yeah, I really do like entrepreneurship. Like this experience was definitely like sparked my creative side. I do think I would pursue software rather than like a product, just because I hate the production side of things. Like I personally care more like, okay, solve a problem and put it out there to the market. Like that's my bread and butter. I like looking at the problem and trying to find a solution rather than like the production side of things. So I could see myself like investing in something like that. I don't know if I would do it in the sport tech space just because my whole life is like soccer and I definitely want to like invest in something a little bit different just to challenge my brain. But I think like in the next year or so, I'm definitely going to be on the hunt for like a new project.
Yeah, that's good. Like, I feel like even just like as a professional soccer player, you have so much time on your hands that like you can come up with a whole bunch of different ideas or even start your own business in anything because we have so
Absolutely.
much time. Like, we have
Yeah,
so much
you really do. Like, you don't have training till the evening, so it's like, what do you do with your time? I was like playing p I was learning how to play piano because I was like so bored.
way.
But I should just like and really invest in like, yeah, business endeavors that might have like a bigger ROI than playing
Yeah.
piano.
No, but that's a good idea. I might try that because I've been trying to find like another hobby to do like on the side.
Yeah, I actually love it. Like, I actually look forward to playing piano every day.
That's so
Crazy.
funny. That's fun. Yeah,
And I suck. Like, I'm terrible too. So it's great.
that's
Yeah,
so.
I'm trying to, I want to learn to design my own clothes. That's my next hobby. I want to learn how to like design my own clothes, but I feel like that's in your wheelhouse. I feel like you're good at that sort of stuff. So that's like definitely invest in that. That would be sick.
I'm really gonna learn because I saw this girl on TikTok and she just be doing this crazy stuff and I just got inspired. I'm like, I have to learn this skill. Okay.
I feel like that would be sick. I would buy. You can design for me.
No,
I need a fashion outfit, guys. I really do.
you don't.
I've been wearing soccer clothes for my entire life. I gotta, start,
It's hard sometimes. Like, sometimes I see girls and they like look all dressed up to come to practice, and I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I can't.
That's in a t-shirt.
I don't have the energy for that. Oh, God.
It's gonna be like just cozy, like if I
I.
want to think about what am I gonna wear, like
Yeah.
just throw on whatever you see. That's what I do.
I feel.
So funny. But on the other hand, you also have your own podcast called Meg's Podcast. What kind of inspired you to start that?
Well, in practice, when I would meg everybody, it just really inspired me. No, in college, it's funny. Like, my college coach literally told me, you are never allowed to meg in a game. Because I would do it all the time. And, like, sometimes it would work and I would look sick. And then sometimes when it didn't work, like, and we got countered, she would get pissed. So it was honestly, that's how we kind of named it because it was a running joke in with my college teammate, Sydney, who I do it with. But no, Meg kind of came about because Sid also plays professionally. She plays in at Celtic right now. And so it was a great way for us to stay connected because we were living in different countries. And we both just really like talking about soccer. And that's what our phone conversations were like before. So we were like, let's just make a podcast and just like throw it out there. So it's been cool to like accrue a little bit of a listening and it's actually made me like more informed about football things in the world, not just like scores and things like that, but you know, the political endeavors, like gender equality, things of that nature. It's made me like research that more, and I'm really thankful for that.
That's really cool. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't really know what's like really going on in like female soccer. So I feel like that's like a good like outlet to like really tell people, oh, like this is what's going on. And it's like a good conversation. Like, I feel like it's a really good conversation to have too.
Yeah, well, that's what you guys are doing. Like, I love the fact that you guys are just bringing light, and more voices in the space are like so helpful just to get people's stories out there. Because you said, like you said, it's like so underrepresented, like in football. So I'm glad you guys are doing this as well.
But I also agree because I feel like there's a lot of young players out there that don't really know like how to navigate through the professional environment, or like they don't have like a somewhere to like look, oh, I need some advice, instead of just relying on like their coaches or their parents or their agent, you know. So it's like nice to hear other people's stories because that could like really help them a lot in their journey.
Yeah. And I feel like being super real about the experiences is really helpful, because we can sit here and sugarcoat like overseas and stuff. But I don't think that helps kids that are actually looking to go play, because you're just like so shocked by certain things. And like I always say, there's so many positive parts of playing overseas, but if I was a bit more informed about the drawbacks, yeah, I think I would have a little bit of an easier time, you know, expecting those difficult challenges.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because I feel like a lot of things that I experienced already, I wasn't expecting that. Like, yeah, so it's like, and even just overcoming that, it's also like rewarding. It's like you got through a hard time, like you can get through anything else that's like thrown at you. So
Yeah, for sure. Once you're on the other side, you can just like look back and be like, wow, that was absolutely crazy, and I'm cool for like getting through that and stuff like
no, literally. And I feel like we go through those things for a reason, I guess. I don't know what we were trying to be, or what we were trying to be taught in that situation, but I feel like, you know, coming out of the situation, you always learn something. And then when you go into like your other team, you're probably gonna like go about it a different way, or you know, just take it and learn from it. So
yeah, take something from each experience for sure.
yeah.
Definitely prepares you for like the next team, or like each level you go higher and higher, it's just gonna get harder and harder. The competition's gonna get harder and harder. So you kind of know how to like maneuver and like deal with certain players or certain coaches. So yeah.
Are there any goals and aspiration that you want to accomplish before the end of your career?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Yeah, I think with my injury, and I'm 26 now, like if I was a man, and I got paid a bunch of money, heck yeah, I would be out there playing for the next 10 years. But because like it's not financially super sustainable to play, I've definitely had the thought of like stopping. But luckily, I'm like even more passionate about coaching, and so I'm doing my UEFA B coaching license in Ireland right now. So I'm really excited to lean into the coaching side of things, especially in the professional game. And so I have a lot of like aspirations and goals as a coach that I want to accomplish. As a player, I think once I'm through this injury, I really want to get to a point where I'm just like joyful when I'm playing again. I think in the mix of professional football, I got into a lull of kind of like, hey, this is what I do, and I lost a lot of the joy for the game. And so I definitely want to get that back before I like hang up the boots on the playing side of things.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I feel like sometimes we're so focused on like either the future or just doing well in that moment. Like, you kind of forget, like, you know, when you have fun, is that's when you're playing your best. But yeah, it can get difficult at times, so yeah, I definitely can
Bring yourself
understand that.
back.
Yeah.
I feel like it's also just knowing really important to, even when like your environment is maybe not the best, like just living in the moment, kind of taking it all in, because you're not gonna be playing well there forever. Like you
Right.
can play another team or whatever, but yeah, just like living in the moment, really just taking it all in, because it's not gonna last all that. So
Yeah,
yeah.
definitely.
Is Is there any advice that that you would give to future professional athletes? Like one thing that you would say to them from your experience?
Make sure that you know your why, like why in quotes. Like really understand, like deeply understand why you're playing professionally. I think if you root yourself in that, then through the hard times, you can always kind of cycle back to it, and that can actually get you through the challenges. So I think that also makes like the highs even higher. Like if your why is to make your family proud or something like that, then when you do accomplish something, then you can like link back to that. Or if your why is just to like enjoy yourself, and you made it through a season, like I think that's a really good, like I said, route to tie yourself to. So I would say find, it's all individual, like find your personal why and ride with that.
Yeah, I really like that. I feel like having that why, like before you start your whole career, I feel like it's gonna motivate you to keep going, like even when you're actually in it, because sometimes you're gonna really go through some things that's gonna like discourage you or make you ask like, why am I here? But like once you go back to that why, like honestly, I don't think you'll ever like stop, because that's the one thing that's gonna like keep you going at the end of the day. But no, that's probably one of the best answers we've gotten so far in the podcast.
I'm gonna text Yolande that after this.
Like,
That's right.
I really like that. That was a good answer.
I do
Thanks,
like
kid.
that. Like your why's gonna keep you going in the hard times.
No,
When you
seriously.
don't like anymore, like you're just in your little, in your head, like you have a little brain fart and you're just feeling discouraged. I feel it's gonna really encourage you to keep going and
No,
like
seriously.
believe in yourself, because that's like, that's your why. I gotta accomplish my why, like you know. Yeah,
So yeah,
definitely.
this life is not easy.
Say
Yeah.
it again, girl. Say it again.
No.
But Abby, thank you for again for taking the time to be on the One Soccer Nation podcast. Yeah, we're so thankful for you to come on here and just share your journey and also just catch up with you. Like that was nice as well. So Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It was so cool to catch up, and I'm glad you guys are continuing to have the conversation about women footballers.
thank thanks, Abby.